start Parshas Mishpatim. We're going to deal with Parak Chav Dalid, Pasuk Yud Chas today. It says, Vayavo Moshe Besochanan Vayal Lahar. So Moshe Rabbeinu went inside the cloud. It's the very, very end of Parshas Mishpatim. He went inside the cloud, and he went up the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu was there on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So the question is, the obvious one, what exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu do for those 40 days and 40 nights? What was he doing up there in the first place? Why? Why was he there for those that amount of time? So we're going to have seven answers to this question that are going to be the easy answers. Targum Yonasan says Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days and 40 nights learning all the laws of the Torah, which seems to mean that he learned the ability to figure out all those laws of the Torah itself, not just what the laws were, but the how of the Torah, to be able to, ability to teach it to other people. So he learned that. That's what he did for the 40 days, 40 nights. Sforno says he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as directly as a man can, and he's face lit up from this conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which we'll get to a little bit later. So he had to cover himself with a mask from this point forward. He understood things that he never would have been able to understand otherwise, and that's why he needed to be on the mountain for so long, because speaking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to figure out everything that needed to be done, that's what he needed to do. Number three, the Chizkuni. This is weird. The Chizkuni says he learned Parshas Behar, which dealt with the laws of living in Eretz Yisrael, so that people would hear these laws and they'd want to move to Eretz Yisrael, which is very strange. That's the Chizkuni. Number four, Pirkei HaChalos to Rabbi Yishmael says he learned Torah in 70 different facets, in 70 different languages. So he's able to learn the Shivim Pan LaTorah and the Shivim Lishonos of the Torah. That's what he ended up learning. That's what he was able to get through. That's how the Pirkei HaChalos says. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says Moshe Rabbeinu went through the entire Torah in Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, different levels based on the 10 Sphiros. Each level took one day to learn, which meant he had to be there for 40 days. In other words, again, 10 levels of Sod, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, 10 times 4 is 40. Each one was like that. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, if the Eagle Azov, why did the Eagle Azov have to happen? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu call Moshe Rabbeinu down a little earlier? Isn't that such an obvious question? Just go down 6 hours early and then it'd be fine. But the reason why is because every single hour was another part of this Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod of the 10 different levels. He needed something behind every single one of it, and therefore, if he would have gone down early, he would have lost out on that 40th level, seemingly, that would have been sowed in Kesser. That's what he would have lost out on. That's why he had to stay up there the entire time. That's the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Number six, the Rokeach says that he learned the Aseret HaDibros and all of the aspects of the Aseret HaDibros that could be learned from them. Obviously, there's 10 commandments. Each Dibor took him 4 days to go through because you need to go over your learning, not once, twice, three, four times. It's the reason why they claim that Rashi on the top of the page has those four lines. Right, four lines of Rashi before they start thinning out, usually, because that's where the Gemara goes. It was made by Christians. So it's probably not the reason why there's four lines up there, but it could be because of the Chazar over there. Yeah.
Well, that goes against Gemara Brachos when it says that you, as long as you're reading it out loud,
you should be able to remember it. Yeah. Have you tried that?
Tried.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you got over it four times. Erev and Nundal and Abez also says that you should go through the Seder Alima the Bnei Yisrael had was to go through it four times, as we do on Monday night with the Agadot Gemaras that we're doing in Yaakov. That idea, the Seder Alima that Bnei Yisrael had in the Midbar, says the Rokeach, that's what it means, that each Aseret HaDibros needed four times Chazara. In fact, the Yalkut Reuveni in number 154 says 40 days is 960 hours. 960. The gematria of the word Masnisin, obviously from the Mishnayos, and the amount of Login that are in a mikvah. The mikvah is obviously 40 saw. In a saw, there are six kav, and six kav is four log. So that's 24 log per saw. 24 times 40 is 960, as you just said, 24 times 40, I'm sorry, which may hint to the learning Torah Sheba'al Peh. Right? The 40 saws times the 24 is a hinting to Torah Shabbat during that time, because Masnisin, during that, we all know that a mikvah purifies you. So that's the idea of getting yourself into learning is like the mikvah. Ma mikvah mataris yisrael, afa kadosh baruch hu mataris yisrael. And it could be, and the way I understand this, maybe this means literally, Moshe Rabbeinu did have Mishnayos that were created in his time. We don't know for sure, but the parak of Ezu Mekoman that we say every single morning in Korbanos, we all say every single morning, right? Who doesn't do Ezu Mekoman, right? Losers that don't do Ezu Makom. But those people that do, that don't do Ezu Makom, are missing out on something, because Ezu Makom might be the only parak in Shas that has no machlokism, and it's clear that it was made during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, or at least sometime soon after that. Why? Because it talks about the Mishkan with seemingly some type of kalayin, these types of curtains that were there behind it. It could very well be that that's the pshat behind this idea over here. The Chidah quotes the Megali Amukos. The Megali Amukos says that there's two things that are also 960. Now listen, we're dealing with 960, says the Yalkut Reuveni, and being 960 hours, and that's teaching us how the Aseret HaDibros and how they went, etc. Lili and Machlas, the two queens of demons. Lily with the Suf and Machlas, their names, are 960. If you add on, it's really 958, and you add on two because of them themselves. Because learning Mishnayos properly, they're both, Lily is supposed to be the demon that gets you when you're having too much sadness. She gets you when you're like that. Machlas gets you when you are too much happiness, which we talked about in the past. So the combined, that's 960. If you learn Masnisin, the Mishnayos, that's Mevatel, the power completely. And that's also hinted to by the Meraglim grabbing that cluster of grapes, which was 960 saw at a time of Yimei Bikuri Anavim. Bikuri Anavim is the first letters before the word Anavim. Ayin Nun Beis Mem is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, to be able to get against that type of tumor. What were you going to say?
That was a little left.
Oh, yeah. Don't say that word. So yeah, we don't say that. But yes, it's lamed yud stuff. We don't say that word because it's supposed to bring tumah upon a person, so we don't say it. So hopefully you'll just say Kriya Shema Lamed tonight. You'll be perfectly fine. Shach, we have our seventh answer. The Shach says that he split up his day into day and night. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu did, what he was doing on the 40 days. He split up his day into day and night, learning Torah Shebachsav during the day and Torah Shebalpeh at night. He learned things that are Torah during the day, things that are Tameh at night. Learned things that are Mutter during the day, things that are Kasher during the day, things that are Usher, things that are Apostle at night. And in fact, Yalkut Shimoni in Kisisa, Tavav, says that Moshe Rabbeinu knew when it was day and when it was night. Why? Based on when he was taught Torah Shebachsav, when he was taught Torah Shebalpeh. That Torah Shebachsav was taught during the day and Torah Shebalpeh was done at night, which is why we have a minhag not to learn Torah Shebachsav without Meforshim at night. We don't do Torah Shebachsav normally at night. If you can, don't do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum at night. If you can, we don't say Tehillim at night, in the beginning of the night itself. Moshe Zakenim says he heard the Malachim say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh during the day, Baruch Kavod Hashem in Komo at night. And the idea behind that, by the way, is Kavod, Kavod Hashem, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Meloch HaLaaretz Kvodo, because we can feel him during the day, Meloch HaLaaretz Kvodo, we can see that, so to speak, his Kavod fills up the whole world. But Baruch Kavod Hashem in Komo, we don't know where his Makom is, so it's like nighttime where we don't see him exactly. So it's Emetz V'Yatzi versus Emetz V'Amuna, says Moshe Zakenim, that's the idea behind it. So to over here, again, during the day, learn Torah Shebachsav. At night, he learned Torah Shebalpeh. Ayelas HaShachar says he knows, and this is okay for us, the Chumash here is always at night. So why are you allowed to do that? Because Ayelas HaShachar, Rav Steinman says, the Maral Diskin used to give a Chumash here on Motzei Shabbos, but it's likely because he taught it with Meforshim, that's why it was Mutar. Torah Shebachsav by itself is a problem, but Torah Shebachsav with everything else is Torah Shebalpeh, and therefore it's going to be Mutar. That's why we're quoting over there. Then comes Rav Yaakov. If you haven't heard this Rav Yaakov before in Emes LeYaakov, it is well worth listening just to hear this Rav Yaakov. This is an unbelievable Rav Yaakov. He says the following. He asks, okay, we know that there was a special time to learn Torah Shebalpeh, which is at night, because Dvarim Shebachsav can't be read Baalpeh, and at night you don't always have a candle or a way of seeing things at night. So therefore, you can't do Torah Shebachsav at night, because it's got to be written down, you have to see it inside, and therefore we tell you only do that during the day when you can see with the sunlight outside, and you don't need extra lights, etc. That leads to a major question. Okay, who here doesn't say Psukim Baalpeh? Dvarim Shebachsav, things that are written down, Ef Shalom or Baalpeh. You cannot do them Baalpeh. You don't say any Psukim Baalpeh? I'll bet you do half of your davening Baalpeh, whether you know it or not. You're going to say half of your davening Baalpeh. Everybody does Dvarim Shebachsav Shebaalpeh. Another question. Dvarim Shebaalpeh, Ef Shalom or Bachsav. You're not allowed to Ef Shal Lichtov. You can't write down Dvarim Shebaalpeh. Hold on a second. You can't write down Dvarim Shebaalpeh. Do you see the Sfarim libraries out there? Everybody writes down Dvarim Shebaalpeh. You make a Shachiyanu when you come up with a sefer. Who doesn't make a Shachiyanu? That's what people do. You write up a sefer, you say, Shachiyanu v'kimonu v'yigyanu l'zman hazeh. Why? It's an Isser. You can't write down Dvarim Shebaalpeh. Why is that mutter? Why in the world is that? Says Rav Yaakov, how can we go against Mefurish Halachos? Mefurish Halachos in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Aruch, every sefer has this. How in the world are you allowed to go against it? Okay. First of all, we accept that the Torah that we have now is the same exact Torah that was brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu, finalized by Ezra Sofer. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra, Hillel HaZaken, Rava, the Rambam, the Ramah, the Gra, every single one of them used the exact same Dalet Minim as we do. We have Hadassim, Aravos, Lulav, and Esrog. They had Hadassim, Aravos, Lulav, and Esrog. We have not changed. We have the exact same type of Shofer. What we do is the same thing. Maybe we have a different way of making it. The tefillin are the same. The tzitzit are the same. Maybe everything else, who knows? Everything else is pretty much the same. The mezuzah are the same. The sifrei Torah are the same. Everything is the same. So why is it that when it comes to the mitzvah Talmud Torah, when it comes to learning Torah, it has changed drastically over the years? Drastically. Why is the Torah learning completely different? What used to be, says the Gemara Baba Basra, is that the fathers used to teach their children. If you knew Torah, then you taught your son. And if you didn't know Torah, then your son didn't learn. Why? They darshan out the pasuk ulematem osam ulematem atem. There's no vav in the pasuk ulematem atem. You teach it to your kids. So that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, but then they decided that's not good enough. There were a lot of kids that weren't learning, so they made teachers and they had people run to Yerushalayim so they could have yeshivas there, and all the kids were sent to Yerushalayim. Kimit Zion Teitzei Torah. They darshan the pasuk Kimit Zion Teitzei Torah. Then Yoshua ben Gamla got up and that said even that's not good enough, and he made yeshivas in every single plachu plach. He made schools for every single place, and they made a system for learning up Torah. I don't understand. How are they allowed to go against the original Jewish? There's a Jewish, Vilnatatem Osam. There's another Jewish, Kimit Zion Teitzei Torah. All of a sudden, Yeshua ben Gamla gets up and changes it? How is that possible? Why is it that yeshiva systems change year after year after year? What in the world happened? Why are we just ignoring it? That's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And more. He says, why in the world do we not learn Tanakh the way Pirkei Avos says it? Simply put, at the age of 5, what are you supposed to learn? Chumash. At the age of 10, what are you supposed to learn? Mishnayos. At the age of 15, what do you learn? Gemara. 18, you get married. Fine. But 5, 10, and 15. Anybody here, when did you start Gemara? You started Gemara when you were 5th grade, right? 5th grade, maybe 6th grade? Okay, fine. But 5th grade, 6th grade, around that time, right? That's when you do it. Fine. You follow Pirkei Avos, right? But were you learning Chumash up until then? Do you learn Chumash from 5 to 10? You learn Chumash from 5 to 10? Why in the world are we starting these kids off on Gemara when they're 9 years old? Before they're supposed to learn Mishnah, they're 8, 9, 10 years old. They have no clue how to learn Tanakh. They have no clue. And then we don't even start them. We start a little bit of Mishnah, but then we jump right into Gemara. What are we doing? Yaakov. And this is clear what people do. The poskim try to find heterim for it. But heterim, this is what everyone does. Why are we doing this if we're trying to find heterim for this system? Perhaps, this is what Yaakov says, it's based on the phrase, Gadol Talmud Torah Shemevi Lidei Maisa. Great is Talmud Torah because it brings you to a Maisa. If learning is supposed to lead someone to keeping the Torah properly, if that's what it's supposed to be about, then perhaps it might change as the generations change. Because again, it's not about the limud per se. It's about the asiya. We need learning shemevi lidei maisa, that it leads to people doing something from it. If the learning isn't leading to maisa, if people aren't getting the maisa Torah, they're not following the mitzvahs properly from their learning, then we got to change the learning in order to make sure that it's done properly. That's the reason why. Because we're thinking of mitzvah says, you can't change a lulav. You can't change tefillin. You can't change tzitzis. And I realize the partials change, but that's a different story. You can't change the ideas behind these mitzvahs themselves. And that's true. You can't change them. You can't add on to them. You can't subtract from them. Lo susifun, lo sigrun, those things you can't do. But Talmud Torah is not about the learning. Talmud Torah is about the maisa that comes from it. And if so, since so many people are turning into amiratzim, you have to change with the times. And if kids need a different style of learning because they're not getting it that way, and you have to do it for the maisa mitzvah, then you got to do something different. Every generation needs something a little bit different. If so, maybe the people originally knew how to understand the Torah by reading the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midos that we say in Rabbi Yishmael Omer, right? We go through those Yud Gimel Midos and we go every single one, Kal Vachomer, Gezer Shav, etc. And they knew how to do that sort of thing. They could read a Torah, they could read a Chumash, and they could understand how to darshan, how to extrapolate, how to take everything out from there. And they could read a Chumash and go through. And therefore, since they were experts in Yeseros and Chaseros, they were experts in how to darshan from the text, they couldn't read Torah outside of the text itself. Because if they would read Baal Peh, they might mess up a letter or a word or something like that. And their whole limud was based on seeing it inside and darshaning from what they see with their eyes. For Torah Shebaal Peh, you needed a teacher to help you along the way. So if they wrote down Svarim, you would get it from the Sefer. You wouldn't go to the Rebbe. They would just learn from the Sefer, and they would become these experts without knowing anything because they never had a Rebbe, no Mesorah, no Kabbalah from somebody else. They just did their own thing. Many mistakes can be made when reading through a Sefer, when not having somebody there for you. That's the idea. If time went on and people became weaker in their understanding of Torah Shebachsav, they had to switch it to a different form of Torah Shebaal Peh. As people started forgetting things, they had to start writing down the Torah Shebaal Peh. As the teachers started realizing these kids are not getting it the way over here, then we have to change something like that. Because again, if it's all about the Maisa, then you can change this halacha because it's not about the Talmud Torah per se. It's about the Mevi Lidei Maisa to bring it to a different way, and that could explain our Minhagim today. It's an unreal Rabbi Yaakov, and it's all in this pasuk. Miyamloi says, obviously, this all could have been done in 1 second, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not need 40 days and 40 nights to do it. It could have been like that, and all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu has it in his head, and it's all done. And the truth is, that's exactly what happened. Miyamalei says, at the end, there were myriads of malachim that were below Moshe Rabbeinu. As Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go down, he saw them. He forgot everything he learned for the last 40 days and 40 nights. Everything was gone. And he says, fine, and put it right into him in 1 second. So what was the point? What in the world was the point of the 40 days and 40 nights? Some say he got it through the malach. I don't know how to pronounce the name, so I'm not going to. Yud-pei, right? It sounds like Yaf-Yafia. Mibnei Adam, which is a pasuk in Tehillim. So that's the malach that was able to retain it. Now, the idea behind it is so simple. The Torah is in our hands to keep by going over it again and again and again. So even though we look at it and we're like, well, look, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it until the very last second. That's right, because that was the entire Torah. So that you can forget. For us, we're only getting a tiny little bit of a glimpse of that Torah, a little bit of a drop of that Torah. So go over it again and again and again. Chazor it more and more and more and more. And that's by Nedarim Chafam Abeis. It's a warning to silly people who think that they're going to understand something after doing it just once or twice or three times. You just said, what do you mean? I did it once. I'm fine. Say it out loud. No, go over it again and again and again. That's why 40 days and 40 nights, to show us you got to go over it over and over and over and over again. And that's how the Miyamloi says it. Not only that, but it's Yishuv Adas, slowly, to understand it fully, to get it there. That's the idea behind it. The Chassam Sofer, in his Chidushim, I'm going to say this quickly, but this is an unreal piece in the Chassam Sofer. I talked to Ephraim Tversky last night at a wedding. I was telling him over this Chassam Sofer. I said, I've never seen it before. It's not in the regular Chassam Sofer of the Torah Moshe. It's in, there's a two-volume set of like, where they pulled in the Chassam Sofers from all over the place. And this is from the end of Nida, of Gemara Nida. I didn't look it up in my Chassam Sofer al Shas, but it should be at the end of Nida, and this is what he says. He says there's two answers to the question of the Miyamloi. The Miyamloi is asking, again, why was he in Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights? Okay? One answer is, he wasn't there to learn. He was to purify his body. In the end, all the halachas were given to him in the last second because it took 40 days to cleanse him of all the tumah that was out there, to purify his body and to get himself completely pure. If it takes 40 days to make yourself born in the womb and to get yourself and to be a baby or whatever it is, it takes 40 days to purify yourself completely and get rid of all that gashmias and turn yourself into an awesome person. That's the first pshat. The second pshat is why he was there for 40 days, not learning. Chazara, as we just said, from the Yamaloes, he went over it again and again and again and again. He was pure as soon as he got up there. But then you need Chazara. You need to go over it again and again and again. You need the Torah. So he got the Torah as a gift on day one. And then he spent the next 40 days going over it to tell you how much you have to go Chazara over here. He says the following. In the Gemara, based on the Torah, there's a difference between a Nida and a Zava. Now, I know that nowadays, what we do by Hilchos Nida is that a woman is in Nida for 4 or 5 days, depending on what you hold, and then 7 days after that. 7 days as a Shevenekiyam. The Shevenekiyam after the original days of Nida. Okay? That's what we have. In the times of the Torah, it was different. Shevenekiyam is really for a Zava. A Zava really had certain days and then needed 7 days to cleanse herself after she was Tameh. So that's the Zava. The 11 days, so to speak, that's the Zava. A Nida really did not need Shevenekiyam. We took upon ourselves, because we don't know what Zava is, so we do Shevenekiyam, but a Nida does not need Shevenekiyam. She would be Tameh, and then whenever she got out of it, the 7 days, whatever, she would have not as cleanliness, but with that, as soon as she stopped the Nida, the cycle, whatever it is, immediately she'd go to the mikvah and that was it. She was done. Okay? That's the difference. In theory, says the Chassam Sofer, this can be both answers that we mentioned over here. If the answer is that it took 40 days to purify himself, and at the end of the day, he quickly got the Torah and he was done, that's like a Nida. You spend 40 days sort of like getting yourself ready, but no Shevenekiyam are needed. Immediately afterward, you end up getting the Torah and you're done. You just be out. You go to the mikvah and you're done. If you say that he got everything in the beginning and he was purified immediately, but you still need Shevenekiyam, that's like Zava. Everything's a little bit different. Now, there's a big difference between Zava and Nida. Zava, you don't hold Miksa Yom Kikulo. If a woman becomes a Zava right in the middle of the day, day one doesn't start that day. Day one really starts the next day. By Nida, right, if you become a Nida on that day counts as day one. Now, do you understand why Klal Yisrael messed up? Klal Yisrael messed up and they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come back 40 days later. But 40 days from that original day. Because they thought when he went up, that counts as day one. Why? Because they thought, why was Moshe Rabbeinu in Shemayim? He's like a Nida. It takes 40 days to cleanse himself, and then he's going to get Torah like that. Then he's going to come down. So they figured it's 40 days, including the day that he went up, because it's like a Nida. So that's why they said he's going to come down on day 40. But Moshe Rabbeinu really wasn't up there to be like a Nida. He was there to chazer the Gemara over and over and over again to teach us the lesson. You got to always chazer. If so, he was up there for 40 days to chazer, which means that first day didn't count. It starts from day two like a Zava. And since it comes from day two on, that's the reason why they messed up. They thought he was like a Nida, but really he was like a Zava. Is that a crazy answer of the Chassam Sofer? Well, that explains it. He goes on, by the way. He has a bunch of different things. But what? I'm sorry?
They didn't know the Torah. How
would
they even know?
No, no, no. Okay, I know. They're Mazel talking, or that's the Chassam Sofer talking. It's more of a brilliant shot, but that's the Chassam Sofer trying to understand it. Okay, here we go. Ibn Ezra says Moshe Rabbeinu did not come down from the mountain once over those 40 days, and says about himself in Devarim Tastes that he did not eat or drink anything during those 40 days at all. Didn't eat anything. Obviously, this is absolutely impossible. There's no way for that to happen. Somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to survive this. No one could see him. He was surrounded by the cloud completely. The Tzura Mor says, unlike this again, we need to eat when they saw the vision right before. This says, they by Yochlu, by Yishtu, they ate and they drank. Moshe Ben is able to survive just off the Ziva Shechina. He didn't need to eat, he didn't need to drink. His spiritual body was good enough. Miam Loez says he survived during these 40 days, literally from the splendor of the Shechina, literally from the Sodos HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah, which were filling him up more than any food could. Only great city can have the ability to do this. There's nobody else. But he literally fed off the Torah, which is Matuk Midvash and Ofes Sufim. That's what happened. Everybody else would starve to death. But that's how we understand it. The Panim Yafo says somehow it's possible for people to somehow survive for a while based on what they ate beforehand. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu was cleansed of everything. The cloud cleansed him of everything. And still, he was able to survive 40 days and 40 nights, which is unbelievably impossible. There's a great story at the end of the Miam Loez, in the Hebrew Miam Loez, that it's not, I don't know if it's in English or not, a long, long story about a priest who pretended that he was such a holy guy that he tried to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. You ever hear this story? Great story. Great story. It's just too long to say, but it's there. Menachos, Tzadi Tzadim Beis, says that Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days, 40 nights, because 40 is the amount necessary for Yetziras of Lod, for a baby to be born, like we mentioned earlier. It was as if Moshe Rabbeinu needed to survive in a different way. He had to be reborn on the mountain itself. Miam Lois goes into it, what ends up happening, etc. And there's Rabbeinu B'chai over here, but it's amazing. So what was this cloud? Rash says earlier there was a cloud that surrounded the entire mountain. It seemed to be a large area of smoke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a path for Moshe Rabbeinu to go through it. He was able to walk through it so that he could reach the top of the mountain. Maskil David says the words here are used, Besocha Anan, and that could be compared to Besocha Yam. Just like in the Yamsuf, they had a path to walk through, so too Besocha Anan, he's able to walk through. And that's really a Gemara as well. It's mentioned over there. That's what gives the Medrash legs, though. It's Besoch, Besoch, sort of like this Gzeira Shava. Rav Moshe says, everyone needs a path. Moshe Rabbeinu, you'd think, wouldn't need a path. You'd think he'd be able to walk through, and that's whatever. He's in the Anan, and that's that. What do you need a path through a cloud for? You're fine where you are, says Rav Moshe. This is the idea behind it. Everyone needs a path. You can't just forge your own way through Torah and assume you're going to be able to get it yourself. You need a Rebbe, you need Kabbalah, you need somebody who's a Moreh Derech, as we talked about before. Even with thousands of Sfarim, as we said, you still can't get out of it, says Rav Yaakov. You can't get out of it, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, this idea over here. You still need a Rebbe to teach you how to do it. Therefore, even though the Torah was given in a cloud where it's confusing and you're not so sure exactly what's going on and you're surrounded by darkness and you're not sure exactly what it is, the path is formed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an idea to go through, said he'd be able to find a way to be Mekayim the Torah and to be able to learn the Torah properly. That's the idea behind it. Then Netziv does say, in opinion, this is amazing, that the cloud surrounded him and then brought him up to the top of the mountain. It was sort of like a moving escalator that was all the way up to the top. So he had a moving escalator through the cloud that brought him up to the top of the mountain itself. The Shach says the cloud became a levush for Moshe Rabbeinu, almost like a shirt. It cleansed him from everything. It made him pure, a receptacle for pure ruchnias. Once he walked in, he became that brand new person, that 40-day Yetziras Havlad type of person. Says the word Anan spells out Ayin Nun Nun, which is a Gematria 342, Shin Mem Beis, for Shem Mem Beis that he used over here, an amazing Shach al Torah. But then we get to the big thing, the Medrash. Okay, I'm going to quote this Zohar that's in Parshas Beshalach. It's quoted by the Miam Loez in Yalkut Ruveni number 145. He also quotes it again in number 153 a little bit differently. The Yalkut Ruveni says the following, okay? I'm going to try to go through this. The point of this Medrash, the reason why I'm saying it, is because I'm going to try to explain every part of this Medrash all the way through. It says the following. Moshe wasn't sure what to do when he saw the cloud right in front of him. Should he go into it, or should he grab onto the cloud and bring it to him? What is he supposed to do with this cloud? The cloud then opened up a door in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he walked right in, walking in the air as if there was land beneath his feet. He met a malach. Yaakov Ruveni says the malach's name was Kamu, Kuf Mem Vav Aleph Lamed, who was appointed over 12,000 malachei chavala surrounding the rekia, and Moshe could not get by. They asked Moshe, Kamu asked Moshe Rabbeinu, how you dare enter this area of Malachim? How can you come in? And he answered, Hashem told me to come in, to go receive the Torah and bring it to Klal Yisrael. The Malach refused to let him walk through and said, what Moshe Rabbeinu had to do is say the name of Hashem of 12 letters and the Malach ran away 12,000 parsos in fear. Out of fear, he ran on. Moshe went down with eyes that were burning like glowing coals until he met an even greater Malach, Hadarni, Hey Dalid Reish Nun Yud Aleph Lamed, who ruled over tens of millions of Malachim, and every word of his were like 12,000 lightning bolts of fire, causing Moshe Rabbeinu to go silent and attempt to jump out of the cloud. He was so scared, he had to get out of the cloud. The Malach called out to him, "Son of Amram, Amram, Ben Amram, what do you want in this place of holy Malachim?" Moshe Rabbeinu began to cry, but then he heard a voice call out to him to recite the shame that he had learned at the Sneh, the 72-word, 260-letter name. As a timeout, you know it's not a 72-letter name. There's no such thing as a 72-letter name. It's 72 words, each one comprised of three letters, which altogether are 216 letters of the 72-letter name. So it's called the 72-letter name, but it's really the 72-word name together with the 216 letters. Okay, so that's that. But he said to say over that 72, that Shem Ayin Beis, and on that, the Malach approached him and said, "I didn't know you knew that. I will be your guide. I want to be your guide. I don't even know this name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu," who said this Malach, who scared Moshe Rabbeinu out of his mind. And he begged Hashem to forgive him and let him go with Moshe Rabbeinu. They came to a third Malach 500 years away, whose name is Sandal. You might have heard of Sandal before. The last part of the name is Fevav Nun, right? He accepts all the tefillos of Klal Yisrael. He makes them into a crown to be placed upon the head of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some people call this Akasri Kel. That's mentioned in Brachos and Daf Tesem and Aleph, right? That's what he does. And when the Malachim call out, Baruch Kavod Hashem Yimkomo, that's when the crown goes upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head, filled with all the good things that Bnei Yisrael were able to do. The second Malach took his leave of Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "I can't go any further. That Malach is going to burn me with everything he has. Sandal is going to burn me completely." Moshe became very afraid. He started crying again, begging Moshe Rabbeinu, begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to help him. Hashem made a path that he would go past without reaching the Malach. Amazing, right? To go past without meeting the Malach until he met the Malach in charge of Nahar Dinor. Nahar Dinor is the river of fire, leads to Gehenna. The name of the Malach that was there was either Rigyon or Digyon, I'm not sure exactly, but it was formed from the sweat. This river is formed from the sweat of the Chayas HaKadosh. When they hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, the Malachim sit there, the sweat comes down, pours down from them, and sweat in Shemayim is made of fire. They create this river of fire that goes down onto the heads of the Rishayim in Gehenna. That's what it goes through. It's crazy, right? He met up with that Malach, but he didn't say anything to him. He got nothing back. He finally met up with Raziel HaMalach. We know Raziel HaMalach from that little safer that everybody has to not have fires in their house. He's also known as Galei Tzur, who hears the decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes from behind the parka, from behind the curtains of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He implements them in the world through Elio and Avi, who hears them and knows what needs to be done. Okay? That's the end of the Medrash itself. Then each one of the Malachim became his friend at that point. They offered him a gift of their own, each one telling him what they need to do, what they utilize. Even the Malach HaMavis told him what to do. He explained to Moshe Rabbeinu to stop plagues by burning the Ketores. That was that. What is this Medrash talking about? What is the Medrash saying? It's an awesome Medrash, right? You heard this Medrash before? An unreal Medrash. Unreal. But what does it mean? So my thought is the following, and I'm not sure, but I think the idea is the following. Assume that Moshe Rabbeinu represents Klal Yisrael learning Torah, the way that they were learning Torah the entire time. At first, we're not sure how to learn, what method to use. You're standing there by the cloud, which is the murkiness of how to understand Torah, and we're not sure who's the best Rebbe, what's the best way of going about it, how should I start, how should I go about this? And because of that, you don't know what to do. With Siyata Deshmaya, if you really want it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up a door and a path for you to walk through to see the light, so to speak, and to be able to get what you need from the murkiness and the scariness that's there when you learn, you're ready for everything you have. Then when a person begins to learn, often there's an aspect of gaiva that hits you. It's called first-year syndrome. If you've ever been first-year in Eretz Yisrael, where all of a sudden you think you are absolutely the greatest person who's ever lived in the world, and you sit there in yeshiva, and you're just like, no one is like me, because I've been here for a full year. That's the guy who we say right there, no one like him, there's no one like that. The Malachi Chavala are waiting for this guy. They're waiting for his ego to destroy him and make sure he goes no further in his learning. No further, you can't go any further than that. Only when he remembers his Tzchus Avos, I think represented by the 12 letter Shem being the 12 Shvatim, in which they have their tefillos that go up to Shemayim, are you able to proceed and be able to get through to remember that it's not about you. It's not how great you are. It's that your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, all the way to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and the Shvatim, they're the ones who led you to the place you are, and that's the 12 letter Malach. The Malach with the 12 letter Shem. When you're humbled, One has to remember the Torah can also destroy you if not learned with the proper Mesorah without that Rebbe, as we've mentioned twice already today, that there needs to be some way to get it from someone else to bring it down to the next level. That next Malach was there to take Moshe Rabbeinu down if he felt like he was doing it on his own. He called him Ben Amram. You're the son of Amram. Do you feel like you're the son of Amram? You yourself are nothing, Moshe Rabbeinu. You need somebody to get it from. Did you learn properly? Did you get from somewhere else? And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to say this 72-word name, the 70, the Shem Ayin Beis. Why? The Shem Ayin Beis is a Masorah. You cannot get it. You cannot understand it. You can learn what the letters are. It's pretty easy. It's in Bishalah. But you cannot understand what those words mean and what the letters are without having a Rebbe who taught them to you. You need a Masorah and a Kabbalah specifically to say that Shem Ayin Beis. And that's the whole point. The Malach said to him, even I don't know that name. I never received that name, but you did. Clearly you have the Masorah down, and therefore you're allowed to go through. That's why he was allowed to use and why he went through, even allowing the Malachim to join him. Seeing that this person is learning properly and doing things properly, the Malach joined him and allowed to be with him in Shemayim.
Yeah.
Probably Amram. If not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The wording is that you learn the name at the Sneh. So it's possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was given that shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Sneh somehow, and that also is considered a Mesorah somehow. The Malach that taught it to him at the Sneh would have been some form of Mesorah. Even so, there's a limitation. Anybody who's done Chagiga with Pardes, with Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoman, Elisha, Ben Avuya, there's a certain level of learning that you can get to that if it goes too far, you won't be able to do it, and that's the pshat. Rabbi Akiva was able to stop himself, right? But Ben Azai went too far and died. Ben Zoman went too far and went crazy. Elisha, Ben Avuya went too far, and Mamish went off the derech. Do you remember why Elisha, Ben Avuya went off the derech?
Yeah.
Because he saw the Malach, there was a Metatz, there was writing down the Schluyus of Klal Yisrael. Very similar to what we're learning here with Sandal, where it's Ki'ilu, he was writing down the Schluyus of Klal Yisrael, turning them into crowns and throwing them on top of his head. That's the Malach that Moshe Rabbeinu saw here in this Medrash. The point is, and I know it's different names, Sandal or Akasri, and over there it's Matat, it doesn't matter. The concept is the same, that Moshe Rabbeinu sees it and realizes, I can't go too far. There's a limitation to what a human being can get in this world, and every human being has that limitation. There's no way for us to have it. So like Rabbi Akiva was able to stop himself and say, no. When you get to that area where it's filled with rocks, it looks like water. Don't say water, water, because it's too far. Rabbi Akiva was able to say, I don't need to learn this. I don't need to understand this. Once you get to a certain point, you stop and you say, that's that. That's where Rabbi Akiva stopped. Moshe Rabbeinu stopped. He didn't go crazy. He didn't die. He didn't go off the derech, chas v'shalom. He sat there and he knew that's what he needed to do. And do you get it? What did he do with that Malach? He went around the Malach. Meaning, he didn't go to the Malach to understand what the Malach is doing. He went around the Malach knowing you can't do that. You can't get that. That's too far for us to understand. And then there are decisions that have to be made when you're on this level that are literally life and death, which is why the River Dinor was the next challenge. Going to the River Dinor, which is the fire that goes through, you have to be passed by the river without being burned in the process. And that's the concept of the River Dinor that he's trying to get around that Malach, the Galitur, etc., that brought him eventually to Razil Malach, Galitur, etc., who allows the Talmid HaChamim to reach the absolute highest of levels, the secrets of the Torah. That's the name, Raz Kel. The secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you get that, but only after going through this process. And what's that process again? It's making sure there's no gaiva, making sure there's a Kabbalah and a Mesorah, making sure that you know your limitations and understanding your responsibility over here. After going through that process, I think that's that. I think the end is self-explanatory. When a person learns properly, then even the Malachim come to support him and give you everything you need to know. Your medicine, everything. Everything is taken care of because you got everything you could possibly have. I think that's the pshat behind this. And if it's true, I think that's the real understanding behind what this Medrash is trying to tell us. All right, we'll stop with that. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.
Didn't they say...